flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Our executive insider, all-around good guy, Doug Whaley, joins us, and he is brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Doug coming to us bleary-eyed from Arizona, where I believe it's 6 a.m. I used to have to do sports updates for a station in Arizona, Doug, and they got wacky time, dude. Like, sometimes it's mountain time, sometimes it's whatever time. Is it 6 a.m. out there right now?
It's actually mountain time. It's 7. And I feel bad because I was talking to Harry. He's like, oh, it's early out there. I go, I can't say it's early for you guys because it's not like 4 o'clock early that you're used to. But, yeah, they don't do the time change. So sometimes it's Pacific, sometimes it's mountain. That's the best reason to have a phone and a computer so you don't have to worry about it.
That's right. Phone changes for you. You don't have to think about it. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doug, how much of the Art Rooney II comments did you hear and or read?
Throughout the yesterday, listening to and doing a little reading, majority of them, I got the gist of it. And the gist, I'm sure, isn't inspiring any hope into a lot of people. But, hey, I'm sure he had to go out there and say, be very diplomatic, very political to make sure he doesn't say too much that is damning or too much that is praising, because they are where they are.
That was the one thing that I heard. There were no excuses. He didn't come out and say 3 games in 11 days. He didn't do what Jim Rooney, his brother, did. I thought we would get that, and we didn't. So I was at least happy about that. The big takeaway for me, Doug, was that Art said they hadn't learned anything from the Kenny Pickett situation. And I think, I mean, that's flabbergasting to me. They overdrafted a quarterback. They didn't surround him or help him with coaching talent or personnel talent. And this is another light quarterback draft, and it has me concerned that they might do the same thing again.
Well, I think I'm going to take it a little step deeper. I mean, when you look at it, everybody's been talking about coaching and the job Mike Tomlin's done, be it your proponent, be it your detractor, whatever you think of Mike Tomlin. The way I look at it, though, is their lack of player development. So let's think about this, and I'm throwing this on, and maybe we can do some research, and you guys can talk about it next time. But I looked at it this morning. Since the 2017 draft, when they took Watt, they've taken around 60 players. Think of the guys that they have developed. I'll give you 2, Highsmith and Freiermuth. I'll give you two possibles with Nick Herbig and Peyton Wilson. And I'll give you one incomplete with Faletano. People say, well, Najee had 1,000 yards a game. Think about this. When he was at Bama, he averaged 6 yards a carry and 69.9 yards a game. At the Steelers, he's 3.9 yards a game, attempt, and 63.4 yards a game. Think about the D-line. Leal, Benton, Loudermilk. What, would you say they developed those? Now, the jury's still out on the O-line with Faletano and Broderick Jones. Porter, he regressed last year, we'd have to say, right? And then at the most important position, quarterback. Who have they developed at a quarterback? So then you even go back to Dotson. He goes away from the Steelers, and he's the highest, one of the highest paid guards, if not the highest paid guard.
Yep.
So I think the focus now should be off coaching. And at this time of year, what are they doing to improve their player development?
In your mind, is it the development side of things, or are they identifying and drafting the wrong guys?
Yeah, and how does that go hand in hand?
I think you got to really – yeah. I think it's a combination, but in the end, you'd have to be able to see some guys getting better, even if they totally whiffed on guys. Because if you totally whiff on guys, it's going to be really evident where, like, all right, we made a mistake, let's move on. These guys that are on the team, they flashed. Right? We all thought Benton was going to be okay. We all thought Loudermilk was going to be good. We all thought Leal. We all thought Broderick Jones. So I don't think it's more on the identification. I think it's more on the lack of player development. And then this goes into, all right, what is the system and support system they have in that building to help develop players, be it the coaching staff in limited numbers, be it the resources they put into player development? That to me is where, if I was in that building, I'd be like, all right, we really have to drill down. If we truly believe in the coach and the coaching staff, we have to drill down in not only my side of it, player procurement, but more importantly, player development.
Well, Art doesn't believe that they need to expand their coaching staff. He says that there's 20 staff members on a game day sideline, which, you know, we went back and on the website it says that there's 18. So
four of which are
strength and conditioning.
Strength and conditioning, yeah.
So you're saying that you identify what the issue is, the development issue, and you look at the coaching staff and it's like, we need to do a better job developing. Art says they don't need any more coaches. What should they do? Should they hire advisors like the Ravens just did with Chuck Pagano, hiring him as a senior secondary advisor? I mean, what? How do you fix this issue moving forward if Mike Tomlin's not going to change?
Right. And I think that is a great point, because you really need somebody. And once you get into a situation, and you guys are, when you're in, every day you guys do what you do, and you really get kind of closed tunnel vision because you're in it every day and you know the minutiae, the ins and outs and the intricacies that the outside world won't see. But sometimes that creates blind spots. So when you have someone coming in as a consultant that's fresh, that hasn't been there, and that's the only downside of continuity, sometimes you can't take that fresh approach and unbiased approach at looking at a situation. So when you can get a consultant or a senior advisor coming in from the outside that hasn't been around Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers for umpteen number of years, they can bring a fresh set of eyes and maybe see or unearth and identify and point out some of the blind spots that have developed because of continuity, and which is, it's not good or bad. It's just what happens.
Yeah, Ravens did it midstream this year, bringing in Dean Pease, and it totally transformed their defense. The Ravens seem to do this kind of thing all the time, and now with them bringing in Chuck Pagano, that the Steelers don't, with the only notable exception being Brian Flores for a year. Is that more a function of Mike Tomlin not wanting that, do you think? Or is that a, hey, we don't want to spend too much on the coaching staff kind of thing?
I think it's probably, I'd probably say with them doing it to Flores, I think it's one of those combinations of Mike Tomlin wanting to find the right person, somebody that is going to really understand the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers, what he is all about, and what he likes to have underneath him as lieutenants. And I think that limits the player pool. And if you look at it, Brian Flores, has the same agent as Mike Tomlin. So he probably, the agent was like, Flores is going through some stuff. Can you help this guy out? So that to me is one of the things that precipitated the Flores hiring, in my opinion. I'm maybe totally off base, but when you connect the dots, you connect the dots. So to me, I think it's a little bit on Mike Tomlin saying, hey, you pay me enough money, I got this. But he's got to be able to understand it, at this time and juncture in his career, it's not about being right. It's about getting it right. And to get it right, I think he needs to say, maybe I do need to see, have a set fresh set of eyes come in and help me out and help the team out.
So you would have already called Mike McCarthy to come in. I mean, he's taken himself out of the head coaching running for the Saints. And that's like the last, that's the last job for head coaches. Would you have already called McCarthy to come in as a some type of role, consultant role?
Absolutely. And then that, now you have a guy that has two stops as a head coach that can actually help you with the head coaching side of it, but also the offensive side and the total organizational side, and maybe give you a point of, hey, this is what we did to develop Aaron Rodgers. So that's the thing. Why not pick some people's brain? You don't have to be the guru and expert on everything. The smartest people are the ones that can find the experts on subject matters that they're not and bring them in and pick their brains.
What about a Bobby Slowick? I just read a report this morning that him and C.J. Stroud got into an altercation prior to the year. Verbal, I should say, altercation. There were no punches thrown, anything like that, which, I mean, I got to be honest. I don't think that kind of a thing is a big deal at all, but it's not a coincidence that this came out. Would you be interested in a guy like that as like a passing game coordinator?
I would. I mean, just because look at what he did. Because here's that is actually one of those great points, because when you look at, he could be a guy, if you are going to draft a quarterback in the next year or two, can say, hey, this is what we did, the system we put around to help develop Stroud. Not only develop him, get him to be able to play at a high level very early in his career. And that's one of the things they have shown they don't have, is a system around to develop players, but more importantly, a player at the most important position, quarterback. Look what they did with Kenny Pickett. And if they said they did not learn anything from Kenny Pickett, then that gives me great pause to think whoever they draft, be it this year or next year, they're not going to have that system around to help him achieve the heights that we all want him to achieve.
Well, let's get into the quarterback coming up next. Art Rooney II, in his media availability, said he would prefer to have one of those guys signed and for multiple years, but unlikely that it's both. We'll dive into that with Doug when we come back. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text her at 412-928-9370. Crowley, you know you could lower the blinds, right? Yeah, I've been getting blinded. But you know what, Doran? I like to broadcast through adversity.
Oh, you want me to put these down?
No, keep them up. I like the sun in my eyes.
There's no sun out.
Builds character. No, conveniently timed by me, because, yeah, there's clouds out there now. Someone said I should wear sunglasses to block out the haters. You like that idea?
Mm-hmm.
Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock, and you can tweet things at us, at underscore Adam Crowley, at Scorindor, and at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doug, Art Rooney II said his preference would be to sign either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson to a multi-year deal. I don't know that it's a sure thing that they're going to get either one of them, Doug. It looks like a natural landing spot in Las Vegas for Russell Wilson, getting that band back together with Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel. And for Justin, I'd want to hit free agency and see what else is out there. So let's say neither comes back. What the hell do you do at quarterback?
You might as well just throw a blindfold on and throw a dart at the pinata. I mean, whatever you do is not going to be inspiring. You're rolling the dice and hopefully you get lucky. But again, then it goes back to player development. And more I thought about your question, is it coaching or is it the bust in the draft or overdrafting or missing on draft? I was just going through just coaching interviews and stuff like that. When is the last time or whenever has an assistant coach from the Pittsburgh Steelers interviewed for a coordinator job outside of Pittsburgh Steelers? So I think we have our answer right there.
Sullivan.
Mike Sullivan did last year, but it didn't sound like he got very much traction. Yeah.
And he got that interview and didn't retain his job here at the Steelers. So that lets you know what's going on, right? He got replaced. Oh, yeah, you're going to be a coordinator, you're not good enough to be.
He was reappropriated. He was shifted to a different department. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So if he's on that track, why would you take him out of that position?
Well, Doug, you hit on a really good point there, because the reason why it's such a bleak outlook isn't just because there's not a lot of options, and there aren't. I mean, if they can't get either of these two guys back next year, none of the potential replacements are inspiring. But if they did happen to find a young developmental piece, I'm not sure that anybody should have faith that they could develop that guy either. So the options aren't good, and your chances of making that player better aren't good either.
And like you said, there's going to be competition, because the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't the only team in the NFL that need a quarterback. And when you have a Justin Fields out there with his draft status, what he did at 4-2 with the Steelers in a different organization, there's going to be other organizations and teams out there coveting his skill set. And then it goes back to, how did they handle that, for the lack of a better term, benching of Justin Fields when he was 4-2? And how is that going to play into his decision-making on coming back? He might be like, well, you had me. And you had a chance. I had you at 4-2. You should have kept starting me. So what are you going to say to me to make me feel that I want to come back and play for you? So it's going to be either a great recruiting job by Mike Tomlin, which is one of the reasons why everybody says he's a great coach, because players love him, or you're going to have to overpay. And we know the Steelers don't like to overpay. So it's going to be not as easy as we all talk, like, oh, that's just Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. There's going to be competition, and maybe there's something that happened in the locker room. I'm not saying there is, but there may have been something that they say, I'm good.
You know what? Piecing this all together, and this isn't going down a good path right now, and we're not in favor with this at all. I don't know where Doug stands on this, but we'll get his thoughts. Hearing what Art II said about the Kenny Pickett situation, not learning anything from that. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, they could possibly go somewhere else. I mean, the Steelers could definitely get desperate and draft Jalen Milroe in the first round. And Art said that there could be a quarterback drafted. They could draft a quarterback in this draft. They could get desperate. If those two guys don't sign back, they didn't learn anything from Kenny Pickett, that situation. So there's like, okay, we'll just draft again. This could be a scenario in April, at the end of April, when the draft comes around, that Jalen Milroe might be a Pittsburgh Steeler. For real.
Yeah, and so then brace yourselves for Jalen Milroe QB1 and Daniel Jones QB2, baby. And you can't convince me that's any different than Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky.
That could be a real scenario, Doug. I mean, where you come down on Jalen Milroe, we are not in favor with that, especially in the first round, but that could be what the Steelers are eyeing, potentially.
I mean, if you want a running back in the first round, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a big proponent of everybody. I guess his hand size was really small.
He got those tiny little hands too, Doug.
Yeah. I go back to the lack of development. So if you have a guy that he has some talent, I agree. But if you don't have someone that can develop a guy that was clearly heads and shoulders above him as a passer in Kenny Pickett, how are you going to instill not fear, but I guess a thought of you can make this happen when I'm just at a loss for words, because I just don't see where this is going to happen to take him from where he is now to where he needs to go to be a functioning NFL quarterback that is not a thrower and runner.
Desperation.
But is an NFL passer.
Because I know that Art said that you can't make the argument that they're closer this year than they were last year based on the way things finished. But because they probably think they're closer than the rest of us do, I think it's more likely if they miss out on Fields and Russ that they would try to make a play for a guy like Aaron Rodgers than it is where they would just throw their arms up and say, all right, we'll roll with some not-so-great quarterback and tank. Do you agree with that, Doug, that they'd be more likely to go the stopgap variety with a Rodgers kind of dude or a Kirk Cousins kind of dude before they just throw their hands up and tank?
I do agree with you there. I don't think it would be Rodgers because Rodgers would bring too much shine on Aaron Rodgers and away from Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin. But yeah, Kirk Cousins, he fits that mold. A guy that's going to come in, grind, be about the team. He's a faith-based guy. He's not going to cause any problem. He'll assimilate to that Steelers culture better than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yes, answer your question, somebody like that.
It's going to be Kirk Cousins, isn't it?
Probably.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, think about it. He's going to, and guess what? He will be a guy that we'll be talking about his numbers every week. Oh, he threw for 350, blah, blah, blah. But anytime it's when you really need him in primetime games or games that matter, he's going to dribble down his leg. And it's been proven for his entire career. But what it will do, it will keep them competitive, keep them in a place where Tomlin can keep his streak of no losing seasons and be a playoff in playoff position, but not a playoff contender.
I can't think of a worse marriage. Actually, I'm sure I could, but it's hard to think of a worse marriage than Broderick Jones protecting the blind side of immobile Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
I mean, my God. All right, so we all acknowledge that they're not going to tank, but if you don't get Fields or Russ, wouldn't it make more sense to lean into the stink? We'll get to that coming up next. Doug Whaley in with us on a Wednesday with Whaley until 10 o'clock. Doug, if there is no Justin Fields, if he goes to, like, the Giants and Russ goes to Las Vegas, wouldn't it be better for the Steelers just to say, screw it? Screw it. There's no good options available, not really, and actually embrace the tank.
Well, I think it depends on, and I haven't looked at the, what is the free agent class of quarterbacks next year, and what does the draft class look like? And if that looks promising with not just one or two options, but multiple options, then yes, because that gives you more ways to figure out how to do it without everybody gunning for Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I mean, there's enough teams that need it that's going to drive the price of trying to trade up to get them. Or if there's a free agent out there like Aaron Rodgers, and that just drives up the price. So you want to be able to position yourself where you have the most options that you don't have to overpay. So I'd have to really look at what's coming down the pipe next year before I could answer that correctly.
What I will tell you is, according to the director of the Senior Bowl, in his mind, none of the quarterbacks in this draft would have slotted ahead of the top six quarterbacks in last year's draft. So I don't know a ton about what's coming up apart from Arch Manning and, my God, maybe Drew Aller, a couple of others. Drew Aller coming here would be hilarious for a number of different reasons. But this draft seems to stink out loud, kind of like the 2022 draft did.
No doubt. And that's where you don't want to overdraft just because of need. You can pass. And like you said, I wouldn't say embrace the take. Just say, okay, listen, we didn't find someone worthy of what we thought that we needed to do to get to a place where we want to go. So we're not going to reach. And we've proven before, when you reach, you usually miss. So we're going to take the best player available on our board at that time and build a team that when we do find that quarterback, all the other pieces are around him. And that's where that would probably be something that I would have liked Art or Mike Tomlin to say. Listen, the quarterback position is very hard to find. And we're not going to sit there and say we are perfect at it, but we will continue to find that next Ben Roethlisberger. But until then, we are going to put a collection of talented players. So when you have that, we're not sitting there saying, well, we need to put this person around or this position around the quarterback to elevate his play.
How much time do they have to get this done? How much time do they have to potentially sign Justin Fields or Russell Wilson before you sign other pieces? Like, do they have until the draft, or do they have like 2 weeks? Like, how fast would you try to get this done so you can get the other pieces aligned?
I would try to get it done before the combine, because once they hit the combine, every agent and those guys that are agents of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields will be bombarded at the combine. It's probably happening already now, obviously, with Pete Carroll going to the Raiders, that connection. There's probably conversations happening now, but there'll be in-face conversations when you're starting to talk dollar figures at the combine. So once it gets there, I know the price is going to go high, but it's going to go even higher once they get and have those in-person meetings with other teams. So I would try to solidify that before the combine. Then you can set your thought process of how you want to attack the combine and the rest of free agency before that stuff kicks off.
Doug, I looked at what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing, and I think they're the gold standard of roster building right now in the NFL. Their top three players are all offensive players. I think it's 5 of 6 and 7 of 10 all offensive players. Meanwhile, the Steelers' 6 highest paid players are all on the defensive side of the football. Meanwhile, Art Rooney II said, yeah, you need to add talent on offense, but not at the expense of the defense. How do you see it?
I see it as, if you want to stay status quo, absolutely. But if you want to end up being a championship contender, you need to learn how to score or get pieces in place to score points and still be able to play good defense. Another thing I was thinking about, everybody's like, oh, they want to be a running football team. I think now, again, it's all about evolution. You want to be able to run a running football team, but you want to be able to run when you need to and finish games. You just don't want to have to run. You can be a running team, that's great. But if you're not scoring points, that's not helping anybody. So the emphasis on the run should always be there, but the emphasis on the run is be there when you need to do it. Like Philadelphia Eagles did when you gave them the ball back with 10 minutes and some change, they ran it down your throat. That's the type of team you want to be.
Do you think that Justin Fields could be like Jalen Hurts if they surround him with good talent?
Oh,
he'd have
his
chance.
He put his thinking cap on, Doran.
He has a chance. I just don't know if he can consistently make the throws. And Jalen Hurts isn't consistent either, but consistently make the throws that you're seeing Jalen Hurts make. Now, with that said, like you're saying, if you put him around, surround him with players that can go and make those catches and when the balls are in the area and give him a better target range, then he would have a chance. I'm just very impressed with Jalen Hurts as a person, because what happened, think about his college career and how he handled that, how he came into a system with Philadelphia and he was a second round pick that everybody was like, boo, why'd they take him? And he just handled it with such class, professionalism, and the ability to go to work and just try to get better. Even now, when they had that dust up with AJ Brown about our passing attack getting better, you never heard him go in the tank or badmouth any of his players. He's a consummate professional. I'm not saying that Justin Fields not. And he showed that he is by the way he handled his benching. It's just I haven't seen that track record of him going through adversity and coming out on the other side bigger and better.
Social media's biggest loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. It's got to be our guy, Liam Cohen, Doran.
Duval.
You know, I don't love Art Rooney II's philosophy and what he verbalized in that press conference saying, when you got a good coach, you don't move on. And then he kind of chortled at 6 to 8 teams every year firing their coach. And then I saw Liam Cohen's press conference and I thought, you know what? Maybe he's... I haven't fully bought it, but maybe he's on to something.
Duval.
One more thing Doug, you said you don't want to just run the ball to run. No statistic, I think, points that out better than the Steelers averaging 4.5 yards on first down this year, by far the least in the NFL. You want to talk about running just to run? That's exactly what they did. They ran first down time after time after time after time. It's great to run the football, but not running it just to run it, and that's what that statistic screams to me.
No doubt about it. And again, it's, and I keep saying this, and I feel like I'm a broken record, it's just you have to evolve. And it's not saying that you have to change. There's a difference between changing and evolving. Your foundation is still defense, run the ball. But you have to evolve to say, let's score points by throwing the ball and then run to win the game.
All right, one last segment with Doug on the way. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley with us for one final segment. And if you missed it, Russell Wilson named to the Pro Bowl. And Doug, I'm wondering, I don't know any of this, but you'd be the perfect guy to ask. If Russ has a Pro Bowl incentive in his contract, a bonus, do you think that the Broncos have to pay that? Because that would be very funny to me. The Broncos paying Russell Wilson for making the Pro Bowl, even though we all know Russell Wilson shouldn't be in the Pro Bowl.
Right. I think that all came, got itself worked out in the trade.
Okay.
About, okay, what are you going to be on the hook about in this contract? If it's, hey, all the bonus structure is still with Denver and we're just going to pay him $1 million, then yeah. So I think the way they signed the contract, if, and I'm sure they're, Omar's an astute business person, they're like, here's our contract. It has no bonus structure. All the bonus structure is from your previous contract.
That would make me laugh out loud.
Yep.
Yeah, it would. I will say this, though. When you were talking, I was just thinking about Leon Cohen and his press conference. People were hammering Nick Sirianni in his opening press conference. So that opening, and then you look at Dan Campbell. So those opening press conferences aren't a precursor to how good the coach will be.
The only one that hits me as being the predictor was Adam Gase. You remember that? With his eyes.
His eyes,
and
yeah.
He's like looking all over the place. He looked like he got into a time machine by accident and then came out of it just sitting at the press conference table. Like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah, it looked like he just flew in from Columbia. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, you better be careful. They'd be flying him out real soon now. Anyway.
That's true.
Doran, you're, we were talking about the Penguins and the minority stake being sold now by Fenway Sports Group. Doug, I don't know if you heard about this, but what does that tell you?
Well, I mean, when you look at the minutiae, and I'll unveil the business side of it. When you're talking about private equity funds and they're investing in sports teams, they have dry capital that they have to deploy. So they'll be ready to invest, but they also have time frames where they have to return money to their investors. So right now, I think there's a capital call coming or a return that they have to put on their books so they can go out and market. Hey, we give you X percentage return every 2 or 3 years. So they're looking for a capital infusion so they can cash out some of their partners. And that, to me, is the basis of this whole thing.
So, nothing to perk your eyebrows about?
Nothing to read into it. No, nothing to read into it. And that's why the NFL has been so slow to have private equity come into the ownership thing, because they are a cash-based, return-based type of industry that if you're not getting your investors 20 to 30% returns, all the other PE firms are going to say, don't go with them, go with them, go with us. But again, it has to be on a time frame. So that's why that they're cashing out just to be able to cash out some investors. That's the business side of it.
That's why we asked you. Doug, awesome as always. Enjoy your time in Arizona, buddy, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, fellas. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.
Texter, Whaley is sharp, should have his own show. He's too busy to have his own show.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, we can squeeze 1 hour of radio out of Doug a week.
That was a great breakdown right there.
Oh, my God.
Man.
I mean, I didn't understand anything you said, but that's a hell of a breakdown.
Right. I mean, we didn't hear Marilyn Mew. We didn't hear Crosby. We didn't hear selling off assets to run away. So I guess it's a nothing burger.
Although, I guess if we had a little bit more time, my follow-up would be, would would it be going down this way if they were more successful on the ice right
Probably
now?
Probably not.
Right? Like if the buildings filled, they're...
Yeah, this would, yep.
Yeah. Probably at least not. I think. I don't know. I failed.
Well, if you're making money and you're not making money.
You're not making money and you got to sell off.
Right? Mm-hmm,
yeah. There you go. We figured it out.
We got it.
Failed econ twice.
Did you? Never took it.
You never took econ?
No.
Consider yourself lucky. I had such a problem with it.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I could tell.
I couldn't drop. I think I have told this story. I couldn't drop it because I had too many accrued parking tickets and I didn't have the funds to be able to pay the parking tickets. Like you couldn't access because they were with the university. And so if you don't pay off the parking tickets, they won't let you have access to your university login stuff. It's their way of getting you to pay.
Wow.
And I had like $300 in accrued parking tickets and I did not have $300 to spend on that. So I couldn't drop econ. Instead of getting an incomplete, I got a big fat F.
So you had to pay $300 to drop a class?
I had to pay $300 in parking tickets, but because I didn't have $300, I couldn't pay off the parking tickets, and ipso facto, they wouldn't let me then drop the class.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Jocking, you don't know how to pay up.
Perhaps if I passed econ, I would have known how to pay up, but I think that was a 13-9 van joke from Callis right there.
We're getting into February now, guy. I don't know what you're doing. 13-9 was on December 1st.
No, January never ends. No. So we're never going to get to February.